Opponents of Proposition 8 said gay marriage has nothing to do with schools. Then a public school took first graders to a lesbian wedding, calling it a teachable moment.
That's tape from a television ad funded by ProtectMarriage.com, part of its effort to get out the vote on a California ballot initiative known as Proposition 8. If passed, Prop 8 would, quote, change the California Constitution to eliminate the right of same-sex couples to marry. Prominently featured in the ad is video of school children attending the same-sex wedding of their teacher in mid-October, video originally published by the website of the San Francisco Chronicle. Whatever you think of Prop 8, is it fair use for news footage to be expropriated for political purposes? Lawrence Lessig is a professor at Stanford Law School and founder of the Center for Internet and Society. He joins me now. Lawrence, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me.
At least some object to the way these kids were used, mainly their parents, who happened to be against Proposition 8. Four of them wrote a letter to the Yes on 8 campaign demanding that they stop running the ad. And they also sent a letter to the San Francisco Chronicle asking the publisher to intervene on their behalf. Do these parents have any legal claim concerning the video images of their children?
Well, I find myself in a really conflicted position because I strongly oppose Prop 8, but I also strongly oppose the law standing in the middle of these political campaigns and trying to adjudicate what speech can be used in a very hotly contested political context. So I don't think the law should stop the ability of people to use material that's been publicly distributed. Although the claims here are quite complicated. On the one hand, there's fair use, which is about the copyright issue, about using copyrighted work that was published by some news organizations, for example. But on the other hand, there's also potentially a right to privacy or publicity issue, where if you use somebody's image in an advertisement, then that raises legal questions as well. Now, typically, that's for commercial purposes, but I know lawyers are quite eager to extend that as broadly as it can be extended.
What about the fact that the subjects in question here are children? Do the parents enjoy some special protection, either under fair use law or under privacy law?
They enjoy extraordinary protection under the law called decency. And so I fully understand and agree with them that they don't want their kids to be used in a political football match. The interests weighing in favor of privacy and control of rights of publicity are stronger for children than they are for adults, certainly. But again, I would hope the law could stay out because that's become such a nightmare, especially in the presidential campaign right now.
Now, apart from the question of whether it's right or wrong to use these kids to flog a political point of view, there's also the question of using copyright as a kind of bludgeon to stifle political speech. That's come up a lot in the campaign when stuff shows up on YouTube that has been plucked from, for example, cable news. Can you tell me about that issue?
What's basically happening is that very efficient systems that were created for copyright holders to enforce their rights are being deployed in a political way, really to silence speech. So this has happened with John McCain's campaign. In the primary, he used a clip from Fox News, which Fox News then threatened if he didn't take down. It's happened to him again in the general election. It's happened to Barack Obama's campaign in the presidential election. It's happened in local races, too, where these absurd claims of copyright have been raised, not so much because anybody actually believes the copyright claims would survive, but because they know that if YouTube, for example, takes down a video for 10 days before it's finally adjudicated whether it can go up or down, it can really interfere with the campaign on the other side. So it's become a political tool, a weapon, to fight the opponent by censoring their speech rather than just responding on the merits to what they've said.
Now, a lot of these issues were supposed to have been legislated in the Digital Millennium Copyright Act of 1998. But I gather you think that that law is flawed, to say the least.
Nobody was ever thinking about how important sites like YouTube would be to political speech when they passed the DMCA almost exactly 10 years ago this week. What they missed was that by giving copyright owners such a simple way to get speech taken down, they would create the incentive for this political gamesmanship.
So what's the fix here?
Well, I think one of the problems we have here is that copyright is trying to do too much. It's trying to regulate wildly more speech than it needs to. Its function is to create incentives for people to create great new works. So I think part of the solution here is just try to carve a copyright back to protect the work of Lyle Lovett or to protect the work of some great new singer and not worry so much about using it or allowing it to be used to regulate every time some speech gets uttered on the internet. That's too much for the law of copyright to bear.
Now, I have never asked this question of an interviewee in 8 years, but I'm going to ask it of you. Lyle Lovett? What the hell? Where did that come from?
Oh, come on. Lyle's great.
Lawrence, as always, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Lawrence Lessig is a professor at Stanford Law School and author of Remix, published by Penguin.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.